Chuck Swindoll wrote a book to help you study the Bible on your own. It's called Searching the Scriptures, Find the Nourishment Your Soul Needs. But you can start using Chuck's methods before you read the book, and here's why. Insight for Living Ministries has provided daily study notes that follow Chuck's messages. They're called Searching the Scriptures Studies, or STS Studies, and you'll find them at insight.org/studies. Each day, Chuck prompts you to prepare a spiritual meal for yourself. First, you start with prayer, then make your observations. Next, work on the interpretation, then look for the correlation, and finally, draw application. Too many people try to go it alone without a guide for this life and the next. Chuck shows you how to fix your own biblical meals, and then he invites you to feast on the nourishing truth you discover. Print out the PDF or make your notes online, whatever you prefer. In the end, you'll come away with a nutritious spiritual meal that satisfies your soul. Go to insight.org/studies. At times, we tend to hold on to our cherished belongings, not with an open hand, but with a white-knuckled grip. It's only natural that we would guard the things and people we love with a protective clutch. But today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll retells a familiar story that reminds us how God requires His children to hold things loosely. He's teaching from Genesis chapter 22, where we find the epical event when Abraham was asked by God to relinquish his firstborn son, Isaac. Chuck titled today's message, An Aging Father and His Son.
At the risk of being overly literal, I want you to enter into what the sacrifice meant. Isaac was to be tied up. The wood was to be stacked as an altar. Isaac was to be laid on top of the altar. His throat was to be slit like the throat of an animal. The torch was to be put under the wood. Isaac would be consumed in fire as an offering, like he had been an animal. Abraham had often sacrificed animals. That wasn't anything new. This is unbelievable. He's not told that I'm testing your faith. He's simply told, take Isaac and sacrifice him. I find here three responses in the verses that follow. The first response is immediate. Notice in verse 3, the next morning, Abraham got up early. We're not told of any wrestling, any reluctance. We're told only he got up early. The second thing I notice about the response, it is based on faith alone. He chopped the wood. He got the torch. He set out for the place God had told him to go. It was a long ways away, 3 days' journey along the way, and it's all based on faith in his God. There is no hesitation. Please observe, the first one to break the silence is the son, Isaac. On the third day of their journey, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Stay here with the donkey, Abraham told the servant. The boy and I will travel a little farther. Please read carefully the next words. We will worship there, and then we will come right back. Will you observe what he calls the sacrifice? Worship. And will you also notice the pronoun in the return? Not I will come back, but we will come back. Believing that God is great enough, if I take the life of my son, to bring my son back to life, and he and I walk back down that trail to where the servants are waiting with the donkey, and we go back to our home. We will worship. We will return. The Lord is saying to him, in effect, I want your whole heart. And that's exactly what Abraham gave him. The instructions were that clear. His response was immediate. His response was based on faith alone. And now I notice his response is thorough and complete. Walk with the two of them as they make their way up the mountain. Verse 6, Abraham placed the wood for the burnt offering on Isaac's shoulders while he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them walked on together, Isaac turned to Abraham and said, Father, we have a torch and the wood. Where's the sheep for the burnt offering? Abraham's response is worth a second look. Your Bible reads, God will provide. In other words, it's all in his hands. I don't know where the sheep is. I don't know what God's plan is. He himself will provide that. I think it's gracious of Abraham not to get too specific. He leaves it in the hands of the Lord as he releases his boy to the Lord at this point. The Lord himself will provide. What's amazing? There's no further dialogue. I'm as impressed with the silence of Isaac as I am with the words of Abraham. When they arrived, as they both walked on together, then when they arrived at the place where God had told him to go, look at this. Abraham built an altar, no words are spoken. He tied his son and he laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Talk about an epical experience. He lays Isaac on the altar. He lifts up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. Would he have done it? Absolutely. This is not about a father's love for son. This is about a father's faith in his God. And at that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here am I, is the response. Don't lay a hand on the boy. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know. That's what the test was all about. Abraham hears, now I know. Know what? Now I know you truly fear God. The word fear is not a word for fright. Not that he's afraid of God. It's a word of respect. Now I know that I alone am number one. Now I know that I mean more to you than anything on the planet. Now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your only son. We read that Abraham looked up and saw a ram. I caught this late in the week in my study. He looked up, which means he must have been on his face. Having been on his feet with knife raised, when he hears his name coming from the voice of the angel, He drops to his knees, and when he hears, "Don't harm your son," he drops on his face, and his worship goes deep. He is on his face before his Lord in the presence of this angel, and he looks up and sees a ram, horns caught in the thicket. And he took the ram and sacrificed it, tied it up, and laid it on the altar, and whoosh, up came the flame, having slit the throat of the ram and sacrificed the ram as he and Isaac, probably arm in arm, watched the smoke rise. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will provide. The Lord has provided. I'll speak to all of us today as we move quickly from ancient days to today. Two comments followed by what we might call a principle. Each of them. First, God never puts us through a test without a purpose. You're going through a test, there's a purpose. You will know the test at the time. You may not know it's a test, but you know it's a difficult time you're going through. It's never purposeless. God doesn't waste tests. There's always a purpose. You will rarely know the purpose. The test may be huge, but let me tell you, its purpose is far greater, far more significant. I have learned over the years and the tests in my life, usually the test is designed to have us release something we're clutching. We are clutching human beings. We grip things. We grip people. We grip titles. We grip positions. We cling to them. We clutch them. The test comes. It's remarkable how it can loosen us from the thing that we've been gripping. Let me say, secondly, when we trust him while loosening our grip, even when we cannot understand why, he provides solutions that quickly teach us to live with open hands. We will not clutch like that again, not as tightly. Why? Here's the principle. The rewards that follow our learning to hold everything loosely will surpass anything we could have imagined as we were holding on. I'll say it again. The rewards that follow learning to hold everything loosely will surpass anything we could have ever imagined. Because the Lord provides that in its place. Whatever it is you've been gripping, clinging to, trying in every way to hold on to, let it go. Let it go. And you will be amazed how God will step in and do the most surprising thing to make you realize what he had in mind is so much greater than what you were gripping. You can't understand later why you held on to it so tightly. One by one, God took them from me, all the things I valued most till I was empty-handed. Every glittering toy was lost, and I walked earth's highways, grieving in my rags and poverty, until I heard his voice inviting, "Lift those empty hands to me." So I turned my hands toward heaven, and he filled them with a store of his own transcendent riches till they could contain no more. At last, I comprehended with my stupid mind and dull that God could not pour his riches into hands already full. It's amazing when you realize how God provides that you will want to hold anything again that tightly. It's amazing. Some of you have not yet learned that. When Cynthia and I were designing our new Insight for Living Ministries International Headquarters building, we wanted to find a piece of art that would make a statement regarding the way God had led in that whole thing. The story is just, without sounding self-serving, believe me, it is just phenomenal. Two undeserving people with no background in anything like that, knowing nothing of the world of media, thrust into it by God's direction, and here we were on our own, clinging to all kinds of things ourselves, thinking that is what we're meant for. This is security, or this is our reason for being. The Lord began to show us no. Anyway, we found this magnificent sculpture, piece of sculpture by Robert Hogan. This magnificent piece is a portrayal of the story we've just been through. And it stands high on its own pedestal in the entrance of our building. And the wings of the angel of the Lord are spread like this. And his hand is reaching down to Abraham's hand. It's the moment of solution, the release, the turning point in the whole story. And you look at the base of the sculpture, and there is a small plaque that reads, "The Lord Himself will provide." That's the story of our ministry. You get to this statue by walking along the Gallery of the Nations, some 200 cubicles that will someday hold artifacts from the 195 nations of the world, flags and books and various meaningful paraphernalia from these various nations. As you walk along under the words of the Great Commission that have been etched in the oval section above you, and you get to the statue, and there you stand and you read. And if no one says anything to you, you get the message. This place exists because the Lord has provided. All glory to Him for what He has done. I am convinced when Abraham left the scene and walked back with his boy to their home, that he kept loving Isaac as before, but he never forgot who was first. Maybe you've forgotten. Maybe in the clutching years, you didn't realize how tightly you were gripping what was in fact a part of the test that would later be brought before the Lord for you to release. Maybe someone you loved, or something you felt you really needed, something you had anticipated, maybe a long-lost dream you had hoped to reach, whatever. Jehovah, Yahweh Yireh, the Lord Himself has provided. I want us to bow together, and I want you to search your own heart. When you stop to think about it, the cross was God's releasing to us His most treasured, most valued presence in heaven, His very Son. And He sent Him to this earth not to live, not just to live, but to die and to pay the price for the sins of people like you and me. As we sang earlier, we who are prone to wander and prone to leave the God we love. I think the table of the Lord is given to us to bring us back to square one, back to remember who He is, why He came, and what He means to us. May these elements you hold in your hand and then take in your mouth be tangible reminders that the Lord wants first place and He won't stop till He gets it. And we are to hold Him in that kind of fearful respect and give it to Him. Release it. Thank you in advance, our Father, for the table that you've provided. Throughout our lives, we've come around this table and today again to taste a piece of bread and to swallow just a little bit of juice and to remember in the taste and the swallowing, your Son gave it all, that we might know you and know life abundant. Help those who struggle today with releasing. May this message be a reminder of the value of giving you first place in everything. We take these elements, bread and cup alike, in remembrance of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
At the church where he serves as senior pastor, Chuck Swindoll's message was followed by several minutes of reflection, taking communion together as a church family. At Insight for Living, we encourage you to remain actively engaged in a local church where God's Word is clearly taught and where the Lord's table is observed. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Today's program features message number one in a brand new four-part series called Epical Events Nobody Expected. This presentation was delivered only a few weeks ago at Stonebriar Community Church in Frisco, Texas. Please listen again next time when Chuck will give us a fresh perspective on another major event in Old Testament history. He'll be looking at the life of Joseph and the shameful treatment he suffered from his brothers. God never overlooks those who suffer. Some are victims of abusive behavior. Others bear the awful consequences of their own making. But in any case, God stands with open arms to receive and redeem people from every walk of life. And this is the message we deliver every day here at Insight for Living. Gratefully, there's a growing family of friends who make this possible. I'm thinking specifically of our monthly companions. These are people just like you who've caught the vision and decided to join us as partners in ministry. And if you're among them, thanks for giving every month, so others can benefit from Chuck's Bible teaching just as you have. To join their ranks, we invite you to become a monthly companion today. Signing up is simple, and you choose the amount that's best for you. If you you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. That's 1-800-772-8888. Or it may be easier to sign up online at insight.org/monthly companion. Step onto the ancient theatrical stage where biblical history was written. Experience The Land and the Book with Chuck Swindoll, March 1st through 12th, 2020.
Feel the cool breezes sweep across the Sea of Galilee. Walk along the banks of the Jordan. Take time to pause and reflect. Picture Jesus being baptized in this very river.
Tours leave for Israel every day. You have lots of choices, but there's only one tour where you benefit from Chuck Swindoll's insight.
This isn't a mere fact-finding trip. Insight for Living makes every effort to save time for your journey to be filled with adventure and yet punctuated with laughter and seasoned with spiritual moments you'll treasure for the rest of your life.
Call 888-447-0444.
You know, you'll never read your Bible the same way. Come with Cynthia and me to the land of Israel.
The dates are March 1st through 12th, 2020. Call 888-447-0444 or visit us online at insight.org/events. The Insight for Living Tour to Israel is paid for and made possible by only those who choose to attend. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll turns his attention from Abraham to Joseph. Be sure to hear this dramatic story Friday on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, An Aging Father and a Son, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2019 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.